Okay, let's get ready to go. Let me hide this for a minute. Let me put the screen a little bit. Can you guys see the screen? Is that, that looks good? Okay. We talked about this last week. I think we got up to about verse 3. Just some quick review as we look at this in Joshua chapter 7. Children of Israel committed a trespass of the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of we read all of that. God was mad, and we looked at some of the reasons why God would be mad. God was mad just like we would be mad as parents when we want to bless our children, and we just can't because they're just being disobedient. I want something better for my children, but when they're being disobedient, man, you know, it hurts me, you know. I'm disappointed, I'm angry or whatever, because you want them leaning and trusting and depending on you, and you want them to be obedient, and obedience is one of the things here. And so we see that there's a problem here, and God is angry with them. Joshua is getting ready to do in verse 2 what he's done. I don't see anything wrong with this. He sent some spies out. It worked the last time. I'm going to work it again this time. We don't see where he asked the Lord. I don't know whether he did or not. But if he had, God probably would have told him, you ain't ready for this yet. I think one of the big things that came out of last week, when we look at verse 3, was that the spies went out to investigate things from an external perspective. And I don't have this in my notes. I think I might have added them later or whatever, but I thought this was very powerful from last week. In that the problem was not the external enemy, but the problem was within. And if they had done a self-examination, then they would have had victory. And sometimes we focus so much on the external battle that we're dealing with that we forget that this thing needs to be straight on the inside. In fact, dare I say, if we follow our steps, that we need to make sure that we're okay on the inside before we start dealing with anything on the outside. Yes, yes. You know, to do that self reflection. And it's important that we have ourselves together
and cleaned up
with him, and that we're in a good place before we get ready to go out there and deal with whatever's on the external. All right? And so they lose.
Big time.
And they, I mean, what should have been a easy victory becomes a rout. In fact, the spies come back and say, about 3,000 ought to do it. We get that. This ain't no big deal. Not a big deal. Yeah, not a big deal. And they suffered loss. I mean, 36 people die out of this. Could have been worse. It could have been worse. All right. Let's get with the new stuff. Again, I like David Guzik. I wrote down something out of his commentary. I like his commentary along with Matthew Henry. He says, what mattered was not the strength of the opponent, but the help of God. And God is not here. So when they suffered this defeat, you know, their hearts melted because, man, is God with us or not? Okay, so as we put ourselves in this story, we got to ask ourselves, where are we in the story and where do we fit which one of these characters? Because here's what you got to understand. These are saved people. These are Old Testament Christians who are following after God, and guess what they're trying to pursue? His best, his plan, promised land, all of that, looking for him to have victory or whatever. And he's almost like the Samson thing again. They think God's with them, and all of a sudden they suffer this big defeat, and they're asking the question, is God with us or not?
Yes.
All right. New material, verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, even until evening tide, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. Notice the steps that they're taking here. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? So he's asking God questions. Why is this happening? Wait a minute. We're your people. We've been rolling. We've had victories in the past, just recent. And what is going on here? Why has this happened? Why have you brought us over here to suffer such a humiliating defeat? Look at the next one. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. So Joshua says, rather than suffer such a defeat at the hands of the enemy on this side of Jordan, trying to get to where you want us to be, it would have been better for us to stay on the other side of Jordan and just hang out there and just be okay there. We would have been all right if you had just brought us just to there.
But if they didn't obey God, there's too much in the world today where everybody is competing.
There's too much in the world today. Earl says there's too much in today that we're competing. Okay. So I guess the question is, oh my goodness. Here's one. I don't think I got this in my notes either. When you face defeat and you're trying to get God's best in your finances, on your job, in your life, in your relationships, and you face a setback, sometimes you get to the point where you go, well, you know what? I'm scared to go forward and to pursue. I think this is as good as it's ever going to get. I don't want to pursue God's best because I don't know if it's there for me. If I got to go through this, this is good enough. It's too hard. And so the defeat is causing Joshua to go, I know we set out to get to the promised land, but if it's going to take all of this, we would have been better off not trying. Better off not trying. All right. And then he just keeps going with this prayer. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns his back before their enemies? Oh, this is bad, God. This is just really bad. And he's pouring his heart out to the Lord. He might not be accurate, but he's letting. Here you go. Joshua doesn't know what we know in reading the story. So we can look at Joshua and go, man, Joshua, you just don't get it, man. I mean, you're asking God all these questions and you're up here having this pity party and you don't realize. I mean, this might not be a good prayer. But Joshua doesn't know. Oh, let's put ourselves in Joshua's situation. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why the family member ain't acting right. I don't know why the wife is acting right. I don't know why they just let me off my job. I don't know. So I'm crying out to you because you need to, I don't get it.
He's crying out to the one he knows who can answer.
Absolutely. At least he's crying out to somebody who knows rather than talking to Ray Ray and Pookie Jones who don't know anything but going to give you an opinion. All right.
At least sometimes we want to go to our friends before we go to the Lord.
I talk to them. Let me go talk to my friend. Well, I need to do this or not or whatever.
See what they say.
Man, I want to see what God says.
Yes.
So he cries out to them. And you know why it's okay to cry out to the Lord? Because God's going to answer him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He answered all right.
Yeah, God's going to answer him. All right.
Good.
For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of this. I love how he switches this. Before he's concerned about himself, now he's concerned about God's reputation. Mm-hmm. This is bad for us. This is bad for me. But you know what? As a believer, when people see this, this is bad for your reputation, God, because the way we ran, tucked our tails and ran and got beat, the world's going to see this and they're going to hear about it. They're going to surround us and your name's going to be cut off from the earth because nobody's going to want to believe you and trust in you after they see what happened to us. And what will thou do unto thy great name? If you invested in us and we fail, what's that going to do to your name? I want you guys to think about this. God invests in us as his people. We are called the children, the people of God. We are Christians. We are Christ-like or whatever. And we ought to be concerned about the reputation that we have.
Yes.
True.
For his name.
Right.
And realize that if we are called to be his, all right, we need to act that way. But we also need to understand that he will, his intent and his plan is to make a way for us so that through us, his name is great.
Yeah.
Which means he's going to do what he needs to do in our situations. We just need to remember who we belong to. Amen. All right. Norm, you good?
Yeah.
You're thinking. You look like you're processing.
I'm thinking, how many children were there? Million?
I don't know, but there's a bunch of them. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, thing that I was thinking about is how one person can
talk to
derail a million
folks.
And if that's the case, you know, you took that to the extreme, you'd say there's always going to be somebody in this class, this church, this body of Christ
that derails
always compromise.
So if the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf or whatever. All right, so just a little bit of sin can mess some things up or whatever. Gotcha. Then we are undone. Because we're always going to find a knucklehead here or there.
But he destroyed just one tribe, all of them.
Well, no, he wasn't a tribe, just one person.
One person.
So I think...
He destroyed everybody... that belonged to that family.
Right. I think the lesson, well, that's an opinion. I will get to that in just a minute. Because they may or may not have destroyed the whole family. I don't know. But I know Achan went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 36 people lost their life probably weren't all from that
way. So what you take away from this is the lesson learned is one person's greed, one person's mistake, one person's error can have consequences for others.
Exactly.
So you can't look at your situation and the decisions that you make in a bubble and think, well, I'm not hurting anybody. This is just me.
Right.
No, it never works that way. You are hurting or impacting somebody else. Somebody else is going to suffer because of the decisions that you make in life. And so that's lesson number one. Two, we need to make sure, here you go. Well, because we know that nobody's perfect and we got crazy folk running around here, there, whatever. We need to make sure that we don't accept that as okay in the camp. I got to be careful here. We got to make sure that that's not okay in the camp because it might keep us as followers of Christ from getting to where Christ wants us to be, and we can't be victorious if we've got sin in the camp.
Yeah. I mean, this example I think is a horrible example to use, but when somebody commits suicide, because I've had that thought.
Yeah.
Because I was in so much depression and pain.
Right.
I thought this was my only way out, which was a selfish reason, and I thought, this is my way out, but I never thought of the ramifications of who I would leave behind and how it would
right.
affect everybody else.
Exactly.
Same way with sin.
Right.
Exactly the same way
exactly.
with sin.
You just and the reason why you think that way, because I'm one of those folks that thought about committing suicide when I was in my 20s or whatever. You are so self-centered,
exactly,
and only looking at it from your perspective,
exactly,
that you don't see the impact that you have on others because you can only see you and you can't see God, and if you can't see God, you sure ain't gonna see nobody else. Mm-hmm.
Because I always equated my depression, I was in such a dark,
darkness
pit.
Right.
What sin causes you to be in, that there's no light to get through.
Right. And you don't see your way out.
And you don't see your way out.
And that's why Jesus is the light. Right.
Same with sin. It's
right.
darkness.
Right.
Satan would rather keep you in the dark period
than to have you see the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's, to Nora's point, I think there's an ongoing thing where while we know that this attitude still persists today, there's nothing new under the sun, we need to fight it through the way that Joshua does. We need to be seeking the Lord or whatever. And the thing is, and we don't need to be condoning some things that are happening because it will keep us from victory.
Exactly.
Just saying. I'm trying to get God's best. Right? All right, I got a couple of notes there. Is he humble? Absolutely. So you always got to take step one. You got to humble. In fact, praise God for the defeat, because if it wasn't for the defeat, them little prideful rascals would have just kept on going in there and, you know,
trying to do it in their own
strength. All right? I like what he did, and you've already said it. He asked God, why is this happening? And sometimes when things don't work out for our favor, guess what we ought to be doing, like we already said? We ought to be asking the Lord, what's going on with this? Please, because, you know, this, you know, not only this is bad for you, for us, it's bad for you, because, you know, we're your people. Don't let the disappointment cause you to not pursue God's best. His, regardless of the defeat, God's plan was still for them to have his best. Don't fall short of having a kingdom marriage. Don't fall short of having a kingdom relationship. Don't fall short. Mm-hmm. All right? He's able. Yes. And sometimes we get so discouraged, or we just think, well, it just ain't going to happen for us. I've had too many defeats and setbacks in my life. He just, this is as good as it's going to get. He didn't die for me to get as good as it's going to get. Promised land is overflow, abundance. I want all that. Okay? Got it. All right. He tells God about his fear, and he shows concern for the reputation and glory of God. It's not all about him. That's it. Okay, now, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Why liest thou thus upon thy face? So he's asking God questions, and God asked him a question. Why are you down here? Why are you crying out to me? Why do you think I've, you know what's going on? You know, he said the same thing to Moses when Moses cried out, when the people were crying before the Red Sea. He's like, you know, there comes a time when we cry out to the Lord, and after a while, God says, well, you know, I appreciate you crying out to me, but now it's time for you to get moving.
What's your blubbering about?
What's your blubbering about? You know, he asked a question, you know. And I can see, if I would answer, if I were Joshua and I was going to answer this question, get thee up. Why are you lying thus upon thy face? Well, I'm lying upon my face because they ain't working out for me. That's why I'm lying upon my face. They ain't working out for me. You done let us go. You brought us down here, and now my job is jacked up, my relationship's jacked up. Things are, why are you down here? Let me give you a for instance or whatever. And maybe this is where I want to give the example. So my mom's 95, and I go over to her house yesterday, spend some time with her or whatever, trying to help her put a puzzle together. I don't do puzzles, and she sure ain't, you know, 95. She, praise God. You get a mask, you're going over there to help her with the puzzle.
Like 3 or 4 years to put one together.
No, all right, okay. No, it was just that one. I ain't stopping.
So I'm praying for patience. So, so I brought some home videos over. Brought some home videos of my dad, me and my dad and the family vacations up in upstate New York or whatever, and we're watching videos. I'm looking at my dad who's been dead for more than a decade now. And it was just great to see my dad. I love my dad. And I love my dad. He was not the perfect guy. He was far from the perfect guy. He made some mistakes bringing us up, but you know what? He did what he knew to do. And I love my dad. Right? And as I'm watching the video, I'm seeing how I'm interacting with my kids. I'm doing a lot of talking in the video. And my son did something or whatever, you know, and I got on him about it or whatever because I was a hard father. I was like, I don't know if you remember the movie The Great Santini, but that was my goal in life. I wanted to be the Great Santini. Boy, I can't remember who that actor was. Duvall. I think it was Duvall or whatever, you know. And, man, I'm just rough and tough because you want your kids to be rough and tough or whatever. So I'm rough and tough, and I'm sitting here, you know, almost 30 years later, 20 some years later, and I'm listening to how I was. I guess I forgot how I was. And I'm listening to how I was, and I'm like, man, I was rough. Not that I still wouldn't knock him out, but I think I would have been a little kinder, a little gentler. And after I got through watching, I just never saw myself like that. And after I thought about that, I was like, you know what? My kids probably to this day are probably going, man, that dude was a son of a gun. And there's nothing I can do about that. I don't have a Back to the Future time machine that can take me back. I wish I knew then what I know now. I mean, I still wouldn't knock him out. But I just would have been different. I would have been kinder. I would have been softer. I would have been. And when I got through watching the videos with my mom, I got back home and I felt bad. How can I ever recover? I felt bad. How can I get my kids to love me like I love my dad, despite the mistakes and stuff like that? I just felt bad. And I got to the point where, you know, maybe this is about as good, because we don't have bad relationship, but maybe this is about as good as it gets because of that. Talk to me.
I think you could talk to your children and say you're sorry for the way you talked to them back then.
I could do that. What do I got to do before I do that, though? I got to humble myself. I got to say, God, I need you, because I can't turn back the clock. I need you. Mm-hmm. Two, what do I got to do?
You need forgiveness from the Lord so that you can forgive yourself.
Oh, bingo. Deb said I need forgiveness from the Lord so I can forgive myself. Let me tell you something. I already have forgiveness of the Lord. The repentance is not just that I repent that I want to treat my kids a little bit differently. The repentance is that I need to trust in a God who has already forgiven me, and I need to believe that he's truly forgiven me so I don't feel what I'm feeling right now. I need the Lord.
Exactly.
Because if God has forgiven me, I darn sure better be forgiving myself, because I'm not greater than the Lord.
Exactly.
Next step.
You call your children.
Not yet. I put my hope. And is there a risk that this still might blow up? Well, let me tell you something. And I got some great comfort from this. The kids might respond in a way that says, hey, we don't want to forgive you. Or, let's talk about what you did. That's going to be a very short conversation, because I've been forgiven. And you can talk about the past, but I'm here to talk about the right now, because the old person that you had that experience with is not the new person in Christ.
Right.
So all we really need to talk about is, hey, sorry about that, but I got to press forward because his best is in front of me. So let's talk about where we are right now and where we need to be in the future, because you're dealing with somebody different. And I ain't got time to spend too much time on that old stuff. Then you can have that conversation, being led by the Spirit or whatever, and do for. And if you've done everything that you need to do, and you're waiting on them, give them to the Lord.
Well, when I had to go to our son, because when he was growing up, I was going through that depression. And
yeah,
it was bad. But when I went to him, I prayed, because I was very guilty. I carried a lot of guilt.
Right.
About all that. I prayed to the Lord that Brad would receive,
yes,
my asking him to forgive me. So hopefully God prepared his heart when I did speak to him.
Absolutely. So now all you got to do is, now it's in God's hands.
That's right.
And I sleep at night.
And see, at that time, we didn't really, I didn't understand, because see, I was at home doing everything.
Right.
While she was in the hospital 12, 13 times looking at bills.
Mm-hmm.
Who finally eventually took our home, which is sad.
Wow. Yeah.
Over a metaphor.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm going to say, Lord, God took everything. 12 years I was on my knees, you know, doing everything, visiting her and then going home, doing whatever with our child. But God took care of every dab of it. It ain't happened. It's a long, long time.
I'm still pursuing God's best despite the setbacks.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And I give you that example as a result of, I ain't going out like that. I'm giving this to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not letting the setbacks and stuff like that. No, I'm giving this to the Lord. And he'll surround you. Man, I look at Norm, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go out like that. I'm going like that.
I think what you said, obedience always brings good results. It may not be now, maybe later, but it always brings good results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look at verse 11. So I bring that as an example of them wanting to get God's best, because I still want to get God's best. And you just cannot let the setback cause you to not pursue God's best. All right. Verse 11. Why are you crying out to me down there like that? Here's the answer. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken up the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. So, All right. So the reason for it wasn't the enemy that caused them to fail. It was the fact that they were trying to do something. So I got some notes here. I mean, this is he just kind of lays it out. They've sinned. They trust. They're disobedient, as Norm said. They disobeyed. All right. They've taken up the accursed thing. Now we need to talk about what this accursed thing is, because if I'm reading this today, I'm like, well, what the heck is it that they stole that they need to, they need to give back? If they stole something, and if you're gonna get whipped like this, you all right? Maybe that's where the saying comes: beat you like you stole something. Is that where that came from the scripture? Beat you like you stole something, because whatever it is, please give it back so this beating can stop. So.
What are you saying, Chuck? Beat you like a what?
I don't know if you ever heard this thing. I'm going to beat you like you stole something. Yeah, beat you like you stole something. Yeah, I've heard that. You know, yeah, beat you like you stole something. Whatever you stole, give back so you can stop the beatings. All right. So, and they put it among their own stuff. So they've made this accursed thing a part of who they are. We got to figure out what this accursed thing is. All right. Now, the commentary is going to tell you the accursed thing was some kind of idolatry thing or whatever. We're going to find out a little later on, probably not today. But we're going to find out.
It wasn't the silver and the gold. And
it was all that. Yeah, but see, you got to figure out what that means today.
Okay.
We need to see what the accursed thing is for them, but now we also need to see what is the accursed thing for us today. That's important. Because I need my victory. Application. It would seem to me that we need to be quite careful not to steal from God, not to hide from God, and be careful of what we allow into our personal space and items. All right? Because look what he said. He said, also, they have stolen. Now, I think we talked about this a little bit last week. What can we steal from God? We can steal some of the glory. Mm-hmm. We can steal some of the credit. And then when you look at Malachi, it says you can steal from them in tithes and offerings. Now, I believe there's a season when you're able to do tithes and offering or whatever. But I don't want to take what belongs to God. All right? So you can just take idolatry and anything else. Is there anything that's more important that takes my focus off God? I got to be careful that that thing doesn't become part of my stuff. Let me give you, for instance, I've been black for as long as I can remember.
Hello.
All right.
As long as anybody else
can remember, too. I've been black, man, I tell you. You know, I am pro-black. I am for black. I'm associated with black. I'm connected to black. I'm proud to be black. It's been tough being black. It's been good being black. I like black. Always been on the black. All right.
Me too.
There you go. That just says me too. That's not going to get me into heaven.
No.
If I take that and bring it into my stuff when I'm on my spiritual journey with the Lord, and that becomes more important than my walk in relationship with God and trying to get God's best, that's a problem.
Yeah.
There's a certain way. Go, wait, say Sandra.
The TV can become sin.
Anything that's an idol, modern day idol, that takes your primary focus where God is no longer first, that could become an accursed thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in this story, and we're going to find out what the accursed thing is here with him, he does some things. Achan's going to do some things that's going to cause the entire congregation to go off. Because
right.
He brings it into like, this is mine.
Right.
And he has no concern over the things of God. This is his thing. I don't want my thing to trump his thing. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want the party that I vote with. I don't want that to trump his thing. I don't want anything to be. I don't want the TV to be more important. I didn't say you don't watch TV. When I leave here, I'm going to go watch TV. But it can't be more important than God. You know, I put this on Facebook one time. Let me just say this because we're running. Kingdom Seekers going to have to bounce out for a minute. But you know, I learned something being a former Yankee and then living down south. And some of you might have seen this on my Facebook page, but I'm going to bring it up again. On Troy Highway, at the church there, on Troy Highway, True Divine.
Yeah.
I was riding my motorcycle one day, and there was a funeral over at the church. And I was going the opposite way.
Yeah.
And I've told the story before, but just, you know. And the funeral was over there, and I was going. And I got confused for like 5 seconds because I didn't know whether to stop or keep on trucking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing nothing to get in the way of the funeral procession because I'm going in the opposite direction.
Right.
Now, where I'm from, up north, you're lucky if we stop for a funeral if we're going in the same direction. That's where I'm from. You know, you didn't stop for funerals where I was from unless you were in the lane or whatever. And, you know, and sometimes, God forbid, you might turn your lights on and get out the end or whatever so you can so you roll with them. You know, yeah, you know. I mean, we did stuff like that. I'm sorry. But being down here, man, there's something that's just different. I picked up something or whatever. So let me ask you a question in that scenario. If you're going in the opposite direction and not in the way of the funeral, would you stop?
Yes.
You would pull to the side.
Right.
Why would you pull to the side?
Respect.
Oh, my goodness.
But that doesn't happen much anymore now.
But you still do it.
Yeah, but
we still do it. So... did you have anything to do with the death and what the person is suffering through?
No.
Are you going in the same direction that they're going to?
No,
cemetery?
No.
But you still stopped.
Right.
Because what you were doing, where you were headed, was not more important than doing what? Showing respect to somebody else and letting them know. And do you know, what do you think? Have you ever been on the other side of this when you're at the funeral, it's your loved one, and you see somebody pull off to the side of the road?
Yeah.
How did you feel when they did that?
It's almost like a gratitude.
Don't you feel gratitude?
Yeah.
Because
they know you're kind of.
That's an excellent example in my mind of Christianity where I'm more respectful of others than I am myself. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to go in the same direction that you're going. It doesn't mean I'm going to meet you at the funeral. It doesn't mean, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with this, but out of my love and concern for you, I understand you're going through something.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to let you know I appreciate, I'm sensitive to what you're going through. That is ministry. And I don't want where I'm going, where I'm headed, you know. But
I'm going for it, that I can't stop and show you that I care.
Let me ask this question: since you're kind of the same color I am, do you stop for white funerals and Hispanic funerals?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mean
it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. Let me just keep on going before I lose some folk here.
Y'all
can't see who's in. Oh, and there's a word for you today. I'm so concerned about somebody else, and I'm so caught up in my Christianity, I can't even see who you are. Because all I see is him.
The people.
And
the line of cars. That's all that matters.
I want that gives us victory, and it ministers to somebody else. Got it? And you said that doesn't happen anymore?
Not much.
I wonder why.
In big cities.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Have they always been signed for the
It's not taught. We've lost that lesson. And more, the world has become more important than having respect and that godly respect that we have. You got to make sure that you don't take on the accursed name because it'll keep you from your victory.
It's just like trying an ambulance is blowing and doing everything and cars
just keep going.
And I think
I speed up sometimes.
Get out of the way.
Yep. Now, I know Kingdom Seekers got to chime off here or whatever. So so we'll do a review next week. I'm going to try to be there next week. We'll see. All right. Deb, I'll work for you to see who might be here. All right, verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel. Sorry, did somebody say something?
No,
I would just say have a wonderful
day. God bless. God bless you, Elder. What? Any questions from anybody there before we before y'all sign off?
And everybody said.
Tell them I said hi. God bless you. All right. Verse 12.
Okay.
Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed from among you. This is God talking. This is powerful. This is some scary stuff.
Nice.
Listen, I mean, you know, he goes, wait a minute. Let me tell you, it ain't me. it's you. You messed up. And I'm not with you on this. Oh, my goodness. I am not with you on this. I thought you would be. But no, I'm not with you on this. You need to go back. You need to check yourself. All right? Because there's something in you or somebody with you, somebody hanging out with you that is, you know, and that's why you can't win. You can't go any further. Like, This is so important to God. He wants you to know, if you think you can get success like this, I need to let you know you cannot be successful like that. You have to do this my way for my glory. I'm not going to be with you anymore until you get rid of this thing.
Done things in your life, I'm sure, like the rest of us, all of a sudden, for a while, it's like God's not there.
Yeah.
He's trying to teach you, and it's tough. You pray, he's not answering.
It is tough, but you do what Joshua did. Why are you not speaking to me? Why are we suffering this? And the word will reveal to us what we need to do in the soul searching thing. And again, here's another example. If you let this thing go, it's like a virus. Somebody else is going to pick it up, and it'll go throughout the entire camp, church, whatever, nation, whatever. Yeah. And you can't win like this until you deal with this thing. And you know what? As far as our nation is concerned, the church is going to have to deal with this so that we can get the nation right.
Read verse 13, Chuck. That tells it all.
No, I wasn't planning on going that far, but let me go on.
Get up!
There's a time to be down, there's a time to get up. All right. Up! Sanctify the people. Now, what does it mean to sanctify the people? Separate. Purify. You need to separate. Separate yourselves against tomorrow. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the middle of you, O Israel. And you can't stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe... Okay, so I don't want to go too much further. I'm going to stop right there. Well, maybe I will go a little bit. Let me just stop right there. I don't want to go past 13. So, bad news is, you got a cancer. You deal with it. Good news is, he tells them what to do about it. He says, I'm not going to be with you until you deal with this. Bad news, he ain't with you. Good news, he wants to still be with you. Mm-hmm. But you got to get rid of, all right, Sandra, I don't like saying this, but you got to get rid of the TV if it's in the way. You got to get rid of the snitch, the snatch, or whatever them little toys are or whatever, for the, switch. That's what it is, a switch. Little games, little video.
Oh.
It's called a gaming console.
Gaming console. Thank you, Sandra. Get a gaming console. I'm not saying you don't do it.
But you can't take priority.
It can't be more important. I still vote a certain way because of my Christian beliefs.
Yes, me too.
But it sure can't. It can't. Because it ain't no political party holy.
No.
It should be. But
it ain't.
It ain't.
But it's by.
I got to be careful with my trash. I'm like, man, I want to stop and pull to the side of the road for everybody that's gone through something and been through something. Get it? Understand it? Got it. But I can't follow everybody to where they're headed.
No.
Just can't.
Because God doesn't want you.
No. I can have concern, but that don't mean I got to swap spit with that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show respect so I can have a conversation with you about what it is that you want to do, but okay. Whew. Let me move on before I get in trouble with some of this stuff or whatever that we got. Let me read a couple things to you, because I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, how would you know what's a curse thing? Like, I'm asking the question, it's a curse thing. So I just started going through the book of Deuteronomy for some reason, and when I go to Deuteronomy verse 33, God says, "You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which you possess." He's telling them about this accursed thing here, about how to stay safe. Deuteronomy 6:12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." When I have my victory, and when he brings me out, I don't want to forget who brought me out. Verse 18 of chapter 6, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." Deuteronomy 7. Verse 12, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers." All I got to do is, like Norm said,
just
obey. Verse 25 in chapter 7. "The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Ye shall not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God." This is Deuteronomy. "Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it."
Okay.
Don't bring that into the house, or you'll be like cursed. It and cursed. "But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." This is all in Deuteronomy. So it ain't like this is like some new stuff. I didn't get the memo. This is a reminder. All right. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not." Let me just keep going here, because verse 11, Deuteronomy 8, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Don't forget them. "And thou in thy heart," verse 17, "my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." You better remember the Lord. Verse 20. Of chapter 8. "As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." I guess I could have put this on Zoom. Deuteronomy 9:1. "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over the Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven." Verse 4, "Speak not in thine heart after the Lord God has cast them out from before thee, saying, my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. For the wicked of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee." It's because of the wickedness of these nations that he's driving them out. So why are you going to pick up their wickedness when he's trying to drive it out? He's trying to drive it out, and we're bringing it home.
Well, what you're saying,
we're taking it on, yeah.
What you're saying to me is very scary, the way our nation looks today.
Our nation, our church, our
nation in particular, just, you know, yes, everything, but the church where they, I got a friend who says their church is now split in half because of the warning, and y'all probably know who I'm talking about, truth-wise, but it says they split because of the game, the pastoral movement of that particular thing.
Right. Yeah. But I already know it's an abomination.
Exactly.
I want to stop the funeral procession. I want to relate to them. I want to understand where they're coming from. I want to be sensitive to them. I want to be loving on them, just like I would be loving on a fornicator or an adulterer or anybody else that's caught up in something or whatever that's contrary to the plan of God. But I can't let my, good gracious almighty, can't let my love for you, my Christian love for you, allow certain things that are... Am I recording this? Well, you can do that too, and I don't want to be brutal like I was with my kids. Mm-hmm. But some things can't come in. I can't let my sensitivity not become spiritual.
Right. You can't let your love for them
over.
Overshadow.
It's almost like being a parent and you just let, I love you so much I'm going to let you do anything you want to do.
But you can't.
Oh, you can't. I don't want to love them like that. All right, last verse that I'm going to give you, last verse of Deuteronomy 28. That's powerful. And all these blessings, Deuteronomy 28. Starting in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you don't get anything else out of the day, it ought to be obedience. Because all these blessings come on us if we obey. Mm-hmm. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks. Blessed shall they be thy basket and thy store. Blessed. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I like that. That's some good scripture. I like that. I can read that all day long. Verse 13, I use this all the time. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the command of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe it and do this. But... here's the swing part on this. But it shall come to pass, verse 15, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field, and cursed shall thou be the basket of thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. You mean to tell me even in my love for the things of the world, even in my love for others, I can love the wrong way and forsake God? And think that I'm doing the right thing and think that I'm in the Lord when I'm doing it and still suffer defeat? If you want to get the short answer on what we're talking about here, let's go back to what Norm said. You know what? I know we can't get everybody straight or whatever, but you know what? We just need to obey. We will pick this up next week and we will see what's going on. Good news is, victory is on the way.
Amen.
When we do what we need to do with the Lord, victory is on the way. So our personal victory is on the way. Our victory in our families and relationships is on the way. Our victory in our church is on the way. Our victory in our country is on the way if we are obedient and obey. Don't put anything in front of God. All right. Any thoughts or questions? Comments?